So we've been working through, as Jerry said, we've been working through the chapter 11 of Hebrews, looking at foundational footprints of faith. And this chapter begins with a list of men and women who lived by faith. By faith, so-and-so did this or they did that. And it was credited to them as righteousness, their act of faith. These men and women, they've gone before us to show us that it can be done, that fallen people can please God. And it takes faith. No one can please God without faith. We talked about Abel's better sacrifice, about how Enoch walked with God and walked with God such that he never died. He left this world without dying. How Noah's faith and obedience provided salvation for him and his whole family. We talked about Abraham's monumental mountaintop moments of faith and even mentioned some of his shortcomings. Last week, we talked about Abraham's wife, Sarah, and how her doubts and laughing turned into a story of faith, laughing in doubt to laughing in joy. The next three names that are mentioned in rapid fire, just like semi-automatic style. Can I say that in church? Are we going to get flagged now? Semi-automatic burst of names. And these are the patriarchs that followed Father Abraham. And some of you guys might have heard that the first time. I didn't know Abraham was Catholic. Father Abraham. So Abraham's son, his grandson, his son, grandson, and great-grandson, that is Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph are the next three that are mentioned. They continue this patriarch line leading to the promised land. All three of these are credited for faith on the same principle. And there are so many stories that the Hebrews writer does not mention concerning these three men of faith. You have Isaac and Rebekah's love story back in Genesis chapter 24. We're just a few days away from Valentine's Day, so we can just all go. Everybody say, aw, aw. It's a real sweet story, but he doesn't bring it up at all. Their BC Tinder date where Isaac saw, or well, it was Isaac and swiped, what is it right that you swipe? I don't know. It was 25 years ago. Is it right? Is that the good one? You have Jacob and his brother Esau. My goodness, that's quite a story. Twin rivalries at their worst. Stolen birthrights, stolen blessing of the firstborn. Jacob was quite the swindler. That led to an angered separation of the two. But, spoiler alert, it doesn't end there. They actually get a chance to reconcile their relationship with each other. It's, once again, a great account of people in a relationship with God through history and how it affected their relationship with each other. Jacob and his father-in-law Laban is not mentioned, and that's filled with all sorts of twists as Jacob thinks that he's getting Laban's beautiful daughter, Rachel, as his wife, but instead the swindler gets swindled, and he ends up with a homely daughter, Leah. That was a rude awakening the next day. He thought he married the hottie, and he ended up marrying the naughty, just not what he thought he was getting into. But the Hebrews writer mentions none of this. Joseph in the coat of many colors and his magnificent dreams and his ability to interpret dreams, his relationship with his brothers and how tragic that was, how toxic that was when they sold him off into slavery and he goes into Egypt and he works his way up to a position of power because of his integrity and his faith, but then he's framed and thrown into jail because of his boss's wife. And then how he climbed to success again, and this time in Pharaoh's house, basically ruling all of Egypt because of his integrity and his faith. There definitely is Hebrews 11 material all through Joseph's life, but the Hebrews writer says nothing of this either. The Hebrews writer skips over a lot of history, rich accounts of these men, their wives and their individual journeys and their relationship with God and the part they played in the plan to fulfill the promise that was given to Abraham, their father, grandfather, and great-grandfather. So here's what the Hebrews writer chooses to share about these three men. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. All three were credited with faith for looking forward to the fulfillment of the promise. And they kept each generation focused on God's promise because they used words. They spoke words. They invoked a blessing. They gave a blessing. Joseph mentioned how they were going to leave Egypt and return to the promised land. The choice to omit many detailed stories here should not be overlooked. The Hebrews writer is being very intentional in what is mentioned and what is not mentioned. And the first thing we see in common with these three is that these are spoken words. Spoken words from Isaac to Jacob and Esau, from Jacob to Joseph's sons, both of those blessings, and then Joseph speaking of the day they would leave Egypt. It's very simple what the Hebrews writer chooses to share. But don't mistake simple for unimportant. There's a very important takeaway here. As we're here on Child Dedication Day, it's incredibly important that we understand the power of our words. That if we want to bless future generations, that happens with our words. You give a blessing with your words. You talk about God's promises with your words. Let's write this down. Very simple. Speak into the future generations with thoughtful words. Thoughtful words. Words are so important. The Proverbs writer notes that our words have the ability to bring life or bring death. Jesus speaks of the power of words. He says it's not what goes into the mouth that makes a man unclean, but it's what comes out of his mouth, because what comes out of his mouth is a reflection of his heart. Those words can be very healthy or they can be very damaging. And that depends on where your heart is. We know that the God of all of everything that we see spoke it into existence. The power of words. If you want to bless the next generation, then be mindful of the words you use when you speak with them. Church, talk to these children, the little ones, the bigger ones. Speak words of blessing over their life on a regular basis. Speak value into their life. Speak the promises of God and the importance of faith and trust in God. Not lectures, not even reprimands or corrections. There's places for those. But just simply speak blessings. Don't waste your words on pointless things. Nitpicking differences between your generation and theirs. Those differences are there. They're going to be there every generation. We shouldn't be shocked at that. Why should we waste words nitpicking those things when we could be using words to bless them? Don't waste words shaming them for not valuing church traditions that meant something to you. It's great that that meant something to you. But don't use your words to shame them because they're not getting something out of what communicated to you. Methods will change. Don't spend your words on things that will at best fall on deaf ears, or at worst, drive them away from the faith. I know of a man who is an adult now, but in church, he and his brother, same family, great brothers, one still a Christian today. and one is not. Because of words that were spoken at church. Thoughtfully use your words as ways to influence their relationship with God, to speak blessings to the future generations, that our youth would feel your support because they hear your support. They hear it verbally. I shouldn't have to remind us that our youth are surrounded by negative words all the time. Social media, we know how toxic that can be. I'm so glad I didn't grow up with all the stuff they have. Teachers, coaches, people that are supposed to be on their team can be extremely condescending, unfortunately. There are good teachers and good coaches, no doubt. I'm not putting them all down, but there are also some bad apples in the bunch. And that can be very discouraging. People they're forced to spend time with. Peers can be very demeaning, and their words can be very hurtful. So what if we focused on making Sunday a place where they come and they're lifted up? Not just met with even silence. I'm not talking about just neutral. But we have a responsibility, church, to counter all of that, to speak blessings, to encourage them. You know, instead of whispering to ourselves about how I wish they'd put that phone down and pay more attention in church. You know what? Maybe you could just be thankful they're in church. I mean, I think that's pretty awesome. And there, yeah, that's fine. I guarantee you, most of them are able to listen and do. They're in a different bracket than we are in. So here's your words to encourage them. How often have you gone up to our youth and said, I see you here every Sunday. I love to see you here. I see that you bring your friends. I love to see that. How difficult is that to do? What would that mean for our children, for our youth? How powerful can your words be to bring life? To come from what's in your heart. If what's in your heart is support and encouragement and love and tenderness and compassion and all these things that are mimicking of Jesus Christ, all of those things that are roots of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, what if you brought that out of your mouth on a regular basis to bless the future generations with your words? You can do that. Just as Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and even Esau. How by faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons. So if we think of this more than just encouragement, these are acts of faith. Acts of faith worthy to make it to Hebrews chapter 11. Side by side with all of these other amazing acts of faith. And you can do this every Sunday. You can do it in between. David's tried to get you involved with being able to, hey, let's find out if we can have some people that would go to the sporting events or go to a concert and support them. Just to see a church face there at their track meet or their football game or, you know, watch them play in the marching band or whatnot. And then even if you don't see him that day, come up to him the next Sunday. Hey, I was there. What? Can you imagine if when you were a child, if someone from your church were to come up to you and say, hey, I came to see you. How would that make you feel? We can do that. What's our mission statement? Growing in God, investing in people. That doesn't just start at like 20. That's ground up. investing in people. So they invoked blessings, and it wasn't just words of encouragement. It was specific to their future. Let's write this down. Our faith has a future in God's promises. Make that the subject of your words. For Jacob and Joseph's sons, it was the continuation of the promise given to Abraham because they had not yet entered the promised land. Let's write this down. Encourage the next generations in that direction. Encourage them in the direction of the future of our faith. They're dealing with stuff just like we're dealing with stuff. They would benefit from some, hey, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm sure you're struggling with something. Just know, God's in control. Your future's secure in Him. You don't need to know anything about what they're going on. You say something like that to anybody, and they're going to go, thanks. Any Christian, rather. Thanks. And sometimes just those words can make the difference in a direction. And be an example. Live that truth for them to see. Hebrews chapter 11 turns a page into Hebrews chapter 12. Jerry, if you want to come on up. And Hebrews chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Hebrews writer lists all of these in Hebrews 11, and he's like, all of these, they've gone before us. They are a cloud of witnesses. And I've shared with you guys, as we've been talking about Hebrews 11, that it doesn't end in Hebrews 11. We continue. We continue the hall of faith. We also are a cloud of witnesses for those coming after us.
Pilgrims on the journey of a narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. The lives are stirring testaments, the God-sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us lead to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly life. Fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover that keeps him, the life we left behind. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that they leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all that come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Church.
I encourage you to be an example, to bless the future generations with your example, with your words, with your heart, with your prayers. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the example that you've given to us through yourself being our Father, through your Son, showing us the example of compassion and sacrifice and what love with skin on looks like. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit guiding us and leading our conscience, teaching us truths from your word, bringing back to memory the things that we ought to be doing. Father, I ask that you help us to follow you better. Father, I ask that you help us to be what we should be for this generation that we get a chance to speak into. That we can make a Sunday morning a time that they look forward to every week, because they know they're going to come here and they're going to get lifted up. They're going to get encouraged. They're going to have blessings spoken to them. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.